From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Wildcast podcast. I'm Justin Spears, as always, here with Michael Lev. We're going to talk some U of A spring football, but real quick, if you're listening to this podcast, you're listening to it either Apple Podcast or the Wildcaster app. If you're listening to it on Apple Podcast, make sure you go to the App Store, Google Play, download the Wildcaster app. It's free. You don't need a subscription to the Arizona Daily Star. It's easy. And you can also get this on Tucson.com, and make sure you follow the Wildcaster on all social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Michael Lev, we're here talking some U of A spring football. It is about that time of year. It's a good time of year for you because you have U of A baseball in the middle of their season and football's getting ramped up.
Yeah, unfortunately baseball's not faring very well right now. They just got swept on their Southern California road trip. Three really tough losses, games that they easily could have won. Now they face ASU this upcoming weekend, kind of a pivotal series, I would say, for the season and the program. But we're mostly here to talk about football, aren't we?
Yeah. Foosball.
We're one third of the way through spring ball as of this taping. And we got to talk to Noel Mazzoni the other night, which I think was probably the highlight of spring practice so far. Mm-hmm. You were there. What was your biggest takeaway?
Some juicy stuff right there. I mean, he's always insightful, and he always, you know, tells it like it is.
Yeah.
But this one, this media session was a little bit more good or juicy than probably other media sessions.
And there was an intensity level to it, I would say.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, the thought process for both you and me, I don't know about you, but heading into spring ball, with Khalil Tate saying, hey, I'm coming back for another year, this is going to be my last season, Khalil Tate is the penciled starter, without a doubt, because he's a two-year starter. We all know what he did his sophomore breakout season with his legs. He started to show a little bit of his arm in the latter part of last season, although he was battling that ankle injury. So we didn't really see his legs. But, you know, I thought that even with a guy like Grant Gunnell coming in, and even with Kevin Doyle and Jamari Joyner and Rhett Rodriguez, Khalil Tate still had the edge over everybody else. Not according to Noel Mazzoni. Coach Mazzoni said that this spring practice period, there's going to be a quarterback competition. And he didn't really phrase it as a competition, but everybody's getting the same amount of reps, which really shows us that, hey, the starting quarterback job's kind of wide open.
He said that. And they are structuring practice that way. He said there's two groups of quarterbacks. They're divided into, you know, the red and the blue group.
Yeah.
You know, three guys in each one. They're kind of trying to divide the reps up as equally as possible. Thing is, I don't know if Khalil Tate believes that he's legitimately, you know, being threatened.
No way. Here. I don't think anybody else does.
I mean, you can say it. You can kind of try to create or manufacture a competition. But, I mean, I feel like, and he probably feels like it's his job to lose. You know, I don't know if he legitimately feels like, you know, if I don't perform here, I could lose my position. And I don't know what it would take to get to that point. We have not seen any team drills. They boot us out of there after the warm-up and individual period. We will get to see some team stuff at some point here, hopefully before the spring game, but if not, then in the spring game, and we'll maybe get to see for ourselves where some of these guys are at. But I think the reason that they're doing this is that the way it was last year was not conducive to Khalil Tate being his best. The job was handed to him. There was no legitimate competition. He was anointed. You know, I remember back in the day, this is way back, maybe before your time, but when Tony Romo like first burst on the scene with the Dallas Cowboys, like he kind of came out of nowhere. He was undrafted. Drew Bledsoe was the established quarterback, and everyone was kind of going nutso over Tony Romo. Like, they took the unusual step of playing him like all four quarters in an exhibition game, which is like a really, like, you don't see that happen, right? Very often. And then Bill Parcells, who was the coach then, was trying to kind of pump the brakes on the whole thing. And he was saying, like, you know, let's not take out the anointing oil just yet for Tony Romo. And I think that, you know, Khalil was bathed in anointing oil last spring, and it continued all the way through the summer and into the fall. He's on the cover of Sports Illustrated, hand him the Heisman, all this stuff. And I mean, we've talked about this before, but I think he lost his hunger a little bit.
Yes.
As a result of all of that, of the job being given to him, of all the hype, all that stuff. And I think they're trying to structure things in a way this spring where he feels a sense of urgency and maybe he gets that hunger back.
Well, you remember when Kevin Sumlin first got hired at Arizona, everybody got all excited because we all know about Sumlin's previous quarterbacks that played under him, most notably Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, okay, Kevin Sumlin's got his next Johnny right in place. And everybody just assumed that Khalil Tate is going to be the starter. And he, like you said, he was anointed or he was bathed in anointing oil. He was penciled in as a starter from day one. And you had Sports Illustrated coming out and putting him on their cover, the regional cover, saying, hand him the Heisman. And he was all over the preseason All-American list and a Heisman candidate. Like you said, I think Khalil Tate kind of got spoiled a little bit, that he was just the guy. He was the face of the program. He's one of the faces of college football. And like you said, lost his hunger. And as the season progressed, you started to see him kind of taper away. And now we're at this point, and I even saw the reactions on Twitter from that Noel Mazzone video of him talking about the quarterback competition. People, that the trend was, wow, how do we get from Heisman favorite or Heisman candidate to here, that the quarterback job is wide open? And I looked at Noel Mazzone's comments as, this is coach speak. I think Noel Mazzone thinks that Khalil's my guy for this season, but I want to, you know, kind of give him a nudge and kind of poke him a little bit to see that drive and to see that hunger out of him.
You know, and we've talked about this before too, but it's worth bringing up in the context of this conversation. You know, Khalil might also have thought in his mind that he, you know, dictated who the coach became.
Man.
Right? I mean, we know exactly how that all went down, right? With the tweet that he put out about not wanting to run the triple option. And then that Bleacher Report story comes out a few months later where it's sort of like, you know, the power of the student athlete, you know, and whatever influence he might have had. I mean, I think that it's maybe a little bit overblown, you know, that he determined who the coach was going to be. But I think he had at least a greater than 0% influence on the whole process, you know, whether that was just a conversation with President Robbins, who had a conversation with Dave Hickey, or whatever the case might have been. And I think that also worked to his, you know, to his detriment. You know, it didn't help put him in the right frame of mind. And he was also, you know, as we know, young for his class, right? I mean, he didn't turn 20 until this past October, you know? So, you know, you're still talking about a teenager, like, dealing with all of this sudden fame. And you can say all the things you want about, you know, it hasn't changed him, he's handling it the right way, et cetera. But that's just a lot to be thrown, on a guy. And maybe, you know, you just kind of lose focus on what the important things are, you know, and that's, you know, putting in the work and putting in the time and, you know, doing all the extra stuff that you need to do as a quarterback to elevate your game. He improved in some areas last year. You know, if you look at his touchdown to interception ratio, it was greatly improved from the previous season, but we didn't see that all around Khalil Tate experience. And Noel referenced the other day that he's pulling the ball more. And yeah. Someone said it too on Saturday. He said that, I think he said, like, he's running a lot more than he was before, which I think is a good sign. Now, it's not exactly the same as in a game, because, you know, you're not going to be tackled here in the practice setting. But that whole idea that Noel was talking about just like he needs to just kind of be himself within the framework of my offense and everything will kind of work out. That's what he needs to get back to, I think, to be the best player he can be.
And do you think that's Coach Mazzoni's way of saying that I'm going to allow Khalil to make more decisions for himself in the middle of a play as opposed to saying, hey, these are the options and this is what I want you to do? Because we asked Coach Mazzoni last year, why didn't Khalil run more? Ankle injury was the one that we all knew about. But then he came out and said, we wanted Khalil to be more of a drop back passer. And this is just me speaking, but I think this was, or that was a reason to improve the pro stock. Because in order to be an NFL quarterback, you got to be able to do everything. We've seen that with a dual threat quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, who's coming out of this year's draft or coming into this year's draft. As talented of a runner as he is, he's also really good as a drop back passer. So do you think that maybe it was a reason for him to improve his draft stock last year?
Well, I think that was part of his thought process for sure. Noel said the other day, we wanted to develop his drop back skills. I think that's part of the reason that he didn't run as much as he did last year, but it's not the only reason. The ankle is another reason. And I think another big part of it is that Khalil himself wanted to develop his dropback skills for the reason that you just stated, you know, to make himself into a more appealing, you know, NFL quarterback prospect. And I think in doing that, he kind of lost who he was or what made him special. I've brought this up before, but if you look at the statistics of a guy like Lamar Jackson, okay, he didn't, just because he became famous, became the Heisman Trophy winner, became an NFL prospect, he didn't run any less than he did before. Not, at least not in any substantial way, you know? And I mean, that's what made him so effective, is that threat. And defenses certainly, accounted for that early in the season last year. I think they maybe kind of went away from it a little bit when they realized, hey, you know, like the threat of the run just isn't there, as much as it was. We saw a better version of Tate after he sat out the UCLA game. He looked healthier. He looked faster for sure. It still wasn't that what we saw in 2017, you know, where it was just like, you know, he had like a 75-yard touchdown run or two. Or more, you know, in any given game. And it was like such a, I mean, it just had such a profound effect on every defense he faced. I don't think we need to get back to that version of him, sure. But it needs to be somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. When everybody was, the other night on Twitter was just blaming Noel Mazzoni for Khalil Tate's, you know, drop in production last year, especially the running part of it, I, you know, quickly put out there, you know, look at the stats that Brett Hundley and Trevor Knight had as runners under Noel Mazzoni. 600 plus yards, 10 to 12 touchdowns, right? I mean, this is Brett Hundley's a good athlete, not on the Khalil Tate level.
No.
Trevor Knight's a good athlete, not on the Khalil Tate level. He had them running about 10 to 12 times a game. They would score 10 to 12 touchdowns a year. It was a part of the offense. He himself said, like, I've run this offense with the Brett Hundleys of the world and the Josh Rosens of the world. To think that Noel Mazzoni and Kevin Sumlin would get together, see what kind of player Khalil Tate is and say, you know what, we're just not going to have him run at all because we're just going to run our offense. And that doesn't make any sense. No, it doesn't make any sense. It's an oversimplification. It's completely... it's a two-way street to me. Like, part of it is maybe they were a little bit stubborn about it, and part of it is that Khalil himself, you know, wanted to become a more, you know, well-rounded player and not known as this runner. But all of those people have to find a happy medium. And it sounded like from listening to Noel the other night that they're at least working toward that.
Yes. Well, and they said they went through their growing pains. Yep. And the fact, in order to have any progress, you need to admit to something. You have to have acceptance for the situation for what it is. And I think with Noel Mazzoni and Khalil Tate having, I'm not going to sit here and say that they were, you know, bonking heads and they were frustrated at each other, but you could tell that at some point during the season, they weren't necessarily on the same page, or they were on the same page, but it wasn't working together. With the growing pains after a season together, Now they enter year two. They know each other. They know what makes each other tick. And I think you're going to see a better version of Khalil Tate if he stays healthy. That's the big thing. Like you said, Khalil probably would have ran more if he wasn't battling an ankle injury. And what was their first bye week of the season?
Oh, yeah. It wasn't until November last year.
Well, I'll tell you what. That's a big part of it.
This year, they've got three bye weeks. they've got one in, like, they don't play in week one. You know, they play in week zero, and then they're off. Then they play two games, and then they're off again. So plenty of time to heal up
exactly.
if something should happen.
Exactly. What about the other guys besides Khalil Tate, the quarterbacks? You know, Grant Gunnell, Noel Mazzone has talked about him as being a smart guy. They're really excited about where he's at right now. He's a big guy. We've seen him up close and in person. He's about 6'5", 6'6". He's a big quarterback. He doesn't look like your typical college freshman, but he's also still a college freshman. Technically, he should be a second semester senior in high school. But then you look at Jamari Joyner, Kevin Doyle. While Joyner did get some reps in this season, very limited, like Kevin Sumlin said, I think he said Jamari Joyner had 2-3 and outs.
I feel like they got one first down when he
with Jamari
there,
Joyner. Kevin Doyle didn't even play.
It was fewer than 10 plays, yeah.
So how do you assess the quarterbacks behind or beside Khalil Tate?
Yeah, it's interesting the other day when I asked, you know, Kevin Sumlin if he still feels like there's some separation, you know, between the older guys and the younger guys, and he said yeah, in his mind, you know, all three of those guys you mentioned are still freshmen, which I mean technically is the case because Kevin and Jamari came to Arizona last summer, so they haven't even, you know, been around for a full year. It seems like it feels like a lot longer than that. Man. But that's all it's been. And he seems very big on experience, you know, even though you know, when Johnny Manziel won the Heisman, he was only a redshirt freshman. You know, he went with the younger, more talented, you know, less experienced guy back then, and it worked out extremely well. Grant Gunnell, so far, it sounds like he's living up to his reputation. Hard worker, studious, loves football, all football all the time. He is more athletic than you think, I think. The thing is with him, it's still growing into his body, you know, the good news is he's like 6'6" and you can see over the defense and he like sort of looks like, you know, the prototypical drop back, pocket passer type guy. The bad news is when you're that tall and long, like more things can go wrong mechanically, you know, it's kind of like with a baseball swing. Like taller guys, sometimes, you know, it's harder for them because they have a longer swing, like just kind of more things can. So you really have to tighten up your mechanics, your fundamentals. I don't think that Grant has as strong an arm as Kevin Doyle, Jamari Joyner, or Khalil Tate. So I think there's still some work to be done to get to the point where physically he's on the same level that he's on mentally. I like the fact that he's on a high level, at a high level already from a mental standpoint, you know, as far as knowing the playbook and knowing what he's doing and all of those things. And I think that he's going to be a guy when he finally plays here who he'll be able to tell where he's supposed to go with the ball before the ball is snapped a lot, you know, and he's going to rely on his film study and his, you know, mental aptitude, you know, more so than a guy who, you know, sort of rely on his athleticism a lot. Kevin Doyle, it was interesting. Noel said that the thing that where he's making the most progress is in processing information. From what I've heard, like Kevin is very gifted as far as he's got really good foot speed. He's got an extremely strong arm. He's got a quick release, like all of those physical attributes that you look for. But the way Noel described it, it's sort of like he's sort of maybe the opposite of Grant in a way. Like he needs to catch up mentally to where he's at physically. You know, one of the most underrated aspects of quarterbacking to me, Justin, is the ability to process information. Like I think
– like a sponge.
With Tim Tebow, everyone always talked about his release, how slow it was, blah, blah. To me, the biggest problem with him is that I don't think he saw the field very well and he'd end up holding the ball too long and scrambling around and not being able to make, you know, those NFL type plays. I mean, that's the thing with Tom Brady that's enabled him to play as long as he has, right? It's being able to size up the defense, process that information, know where to go with the ball and get rid of it before the pass rush can get there, which has enabled him to play effectively into his 40s. Same thing with Drew Brees. Same thing with Peyton Manning before his body, you know, just abandoned him. Jamari Joyner, very good athlete, as you know, from having seen him in high school. From what we've seen in drills so far, some accuracy issues, you know, and I don't know if that's fundamentals. I don't know if that's just he's just not a naturally accurate passer of the football. That to me is something that he needs to work on over the course of this spring and over the summer.
Overthrowing or underthrowing?
I've seen both.
A little bit of both.
I mean, I was watching them throw, you know, they do the drills inside the Davis Sports Center where they're throwing into the net, and sometimes he'd miss the net entirely. Watching him throw to some of the receivers. I just saw a few more errant throws from him than I saw from some of the other guys. So he's still young. I mean, he's definitely a developmental prospect. There's a lot of talent there for sure, and they obviously saw some stuff that they liked in him because, you know, they made him the number two guy last year when Khalil was out and Rhett was in, and you know they wanted that changeup option that they threw into games a couple times. They wouldn't have done that if they didn't feel like there was something there.
I feel like Rhett Rodriguez is the guy that always gets left out because he, when you look at him, you don't think college quarterback. And everybody knows his backstory of him being the former head coach's son. I feel like Rhett is always kind of the odd man out when you're talking about the quarterbacks. And, you know, when I'm talking about the quarterbacks behind Khalil Tate, I think it's unfair to rule anyone out because, like you said, Kevin Doyle, quick feet, really good at processing information. He was a Gatorade Player of the Year out there in Washington, D.C., in that area. Jamari Joyner, I've talked to his head coach from high school, and Coach Nugent told me that Jamari is a once-in-a-20-year player that he's had. And reminder, this is the same head coach that coached Kadeem Carey in high school. So, you know, Jamari Joyner is probably the closest thing to Khalil Tate on the team. Then you have Kevin Doyle, who's so good with his feet and processing information. We haven't even had a chance to look at him in game, so we can't write him off. Grant Gunnell, all the things that you just said. And then Rhett Rodriguez, like I said, the odd man out, and he was the only one that got significant playing time compared to the other ones. He started that UCLA game. So,
well, yeah, the thing about Rhett is he's not new and exciting, right? I mean,
is he kind of boring in some way?
It's not his fault.
Textbook is the better word.
It's not his fault. He didn't come in with the, you know, holding all the records in the state of Texas, right? He wasn't the last minute signee, who decommitted from Michigan like Kevin Doyle was. He wasn't the amazing all-around athlete that Jamari Joyner was as a high school player here in Tucson. His claim to fame is kind of being Rich Rodriguez's son as much as anything. But, I mean, Rhett Rodriguez will be a coach, like, sooner than later. He's going to be one of those guys who's like some big program's quarterback's coach when he's 28 years old. And he'll be like the offensive coordinator when he's 30 years old. Like, I'm sure of it. He's like that smart. He's that sharp. He's that together. But he has some physical limitations. He's maybe 6 feet tall. You know, he doesn't have the strongest arm. I mean, I thought he played okay in that UCLA game, a game that they easily could have, and should have won. I mean, you know, there was a J.J. Taylor fumble on the way to the end zone. There was the defense being unable to get UCLA off the field at the end of the game. They put up 30 points with Rhett as the quarterback. Should be enough to win most games. He's just, you know, he's a great guy to have in your quarterback room. He's a great guy to have in your team. He's a great guy to have as a sub in a game or to maybe make a spot start. But as far as like the long-term starter, if Khalil got hurt or if Khalil transferred or whatever the case might be, I think they would look to one of the younger guys because those guys have a higher upside than Rhett does. Rhett has the highest floor.
Yeah.
You know, like you know what you're going to get. He's going to run the plays. He's going to run the offense. He's reliable, all those things. But, you know, as far as like making a bunch of 50-yard throws downfield or whatever, that's just not his game.
Mm-hmm. Let's segue into the new guys, newcomers. There's a batch of recruits from the 2019 class that are already here in Tucson. They're practicing with the Wildcats. A lot of JUCO transfers, some high school guys enrolling early. One of the newcomers that have stood out in the eyes of players and coaches is Jaden Mitchell. I did not expect him, out of all of the guys, to stand out among the rest. And I think a big part of that is because he didn't have as much buzz or as hype going into it because he was recovering from an ACL injury that he suffered in high school. He was supposed to be a part of the 2018 recruiting class. He gray-shirted. Kevin Sumlin still honored his scholarship, which I think is a cool thing. And now he's with the wide receiver group. And Michael Lev, as you know, wide receiver is a big question mark for the Wildcats heading into the season because we don't know who's going to replace Sean Poindexter, Shun Brown, and Tony Ellison. So Jaden Mitchell has been a guy that has stood out to coaches and players. What do you think about that, Lev?
It's interesting that you phrased it the way you did, that he was just kind of the forgotten man. You know, when you gray shirt, you know, you do, it's sort of like the witness protection program, right? Like you just kind of like, you just kind of disappear. Like, I remember when I was sort of, you know, putting together my preview materials, or maybe it was like on early signing day in December, you know, this past signing class, I was like, wait a minute, is Jaden Mitchell part of this class? And then I found out, yeah, he is. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. This guy. great story. You know, torn ACL the first game of his senior year at Desert Pines in Las Vegas, and coaching staff change here. Kevin Sumlin says, you know, commitment is a two-way street. You know, you committed to us. We're going to stay committed to you. You committed to the university. We are going to honor that. And, I mean, we haven't gotten a chance to talk to Jaden Mitchell. I don't know when we will because he's a freshman and they have those rules in place. But my guess is that he's very motivated. Mm-hmm. You know, he's very driven. He was very emotional. I mean, he posted that video when he got his official, you know, letter of intent to sign. It was like a very big deal for him and his family, and he's performing accordingly. I don't think wide receiver is going to be the problem area that other people think. I think they have a lot of capable guys. I don't know if there's a superstar in that group. Booby Curry, one of the other newcomers, maybe has that kind of upside. We don't know yet. I mean, Sean Poindexter is a difficult guy to replace because there just aren't a lot of 6'5", you know, receivers running around. But I mean, I just think they have a lot of resources to throw at the problem. You know, we've heard good things about Brian Castile. We've heard good things about Devon Cooper. We've heard good things about Jaden Mitchell, Booby Curry. Cedric Peterson is sort of like, you know, he's sort of the Rhett Rod of the receiving core, like Mr. Reliable. Like, it's not very exciting, but you know what you're going to get. He was actually pretty darn productive last year when he did get the ball. So I think they're going to be okay there. Some other positions I'm a little bit more concerned about.
What positions?
Yeah.
Oh, offensive line and defensive line.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's where you know, newcomers are expected to have a significant impact. as mentioned, we haven't gotten to see any one-on-ones or, you know, the D-line going against the O-line or any of that stuff. But when you look at those two new offensive line guys, Josh Donovan and Peyton Fears, they look like they're ready to play, mm-hmm. which is kind of the idea when you bring in JUCO guys. They are being thrown into the starting lineup right off the bat. Josh Donovan's playing left guard. Peyton Fears is playing right tackle. And I like the look of the starting offensive line with Donovan Lyatt left tackle, Josh Donovan at left guard, Josh McCauley at center, Cody Creason at right guard, and then Peyton Fears at right tackle.
Big guys.
The concern I have is, what if one or two guys get hurt? Then what? You know, like, where's the depth? We've talked about this before. They want to have 15 scholarship offensive linemen. I believe they have 11, 12 at the most. Josh McCauley, I feel like, should be included in that group, even though he doesn't have a scholarship yet, which is ridiculous.
Absurd.
Another story for another day. But depth is a concern there. And depth is an even bigger concern at the interior, you know, defensive line positions. They basically have two spots, defensive tackle and nose tackle. And they don't have a lot of guys right now. Miles Tapasoa, like, looked really good the first two practices, and then he missed the next three. And I don't know what the extent of this, quote, little injury that he has that someone was describing the other day, but they need him. You know, like, they need him. They need Vinton Connolly to kind of take the next step in his game. They need Jalen Cochran to make a successful transition from defensive end to defensive tackle. He looks big enough. He's like around 280.
Looks
healthy-ish. They need someone like Nahe Salunga to maybe become something. And then there's a couple new guys coming in, hopefully, in summer, right? In Trayvon Mason and Kane Bradford. Bradford is – he's kind of a sleeper
to me. He's a dark horse. Yeah.
I mean, you don't necessarily expect a true freshman to come in and have a huge impact on either line. Like, that's – those are the positions that require the most physical development, right? So there's usually kind of the longest incubation period, if you will. But I really liked his film. And he's also another one who's got an interesting backstory. And I think he's going to come in really motivated. And hopefully he'll be able to make an impact. Because like I said, they need all those guys to make an impact. I think you need six guys for those two spots.
Yep.
Because there's going to be injuries. You want to rotate as much as you can at those interior spots because guys get worn down. And, you know, they if you look at the UCLA game last year, if you look at the BYU game last year, like, the defense couldn't get the offense off the field at the end of the game to give the Wildcat offense a shot to win, mm-hmm. right? And I think if you have a deep rotation of defensive linemen, that will help you to get that offense off the field at the end yep. of the game to get the ball back.
Man, that spring game is going to be interesting. When is that, April 15th?
April 13th.
13th.
Yes.
At Arizona
Put that
State.
Down on your calendar, Justin, because you need to be there. We need to cover this thing.
Yeah. Well, that would do it for this episode of the Wildcast podcast. You can download this app, the Wildcaster app, on the App Store or Google Play, or you could subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. For Michael Lev, I'm Justin Spears. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Wildcaster fans. Come check out The Point Being, the Arizona Daily Star's opinion page podcast. We talk about current events, what's going on in the world, the letters page, and more. So check us out at thepointbeingpodcast.com.